Lots of drama, lots of drama. I feel like most of the shows on TV aren't that far away from what they just did in that spoof there. I don't know how many of you guys watch reality TV? Any of you guys, like, you're into, like, reality? Maybe not that, but, like, other reality TV shows? Are you serious? There's nothing else on TV now. I feel like most of the shows I end up watching are kind of like, let's see, like, I don't know, either they're building cars or like diesel trucks or like things like that, and it's all this reality stuff, or they're searching for treasure. Am I standing in a bad spot here? Should I move? And it's all this reality stuff, and then if you don't do that, you're probably like on your phone and you're looking at Facebook or you're looking at Instagram and you're seeing other people's drama that they're posting or these pictures they're putting up, and you're kind of like laughing at their life like, ah, I'm glad that's not me. But most of the time it's like kind of standing back watching other people's drama and hearing their news and their posts. Like this one friend I have posts everything he eats every time there's like anything. It doesn't even matter what it is. It's a grilled cheese sandwich. Look at a selfie with my grilled cheese sandwich. It's like, you're the food guy. You're going to post everything about food that you put in your mouth. And it just seems like we live in a culture that does that, right? If you haven't seen that, you're probably not using social media or watching TV very much, because that's kind of what it's become. And it almost kind of desensitizes me a little bit when I actually hear real news, because when I hear it, I'm just like, yeah, it's kind of like all the rest of the news. It doesn't really apply to me. Like, what does any of this really have to do with me anyway? Even when I'm watching the news at night, sometimes I'll flick it on before I go to bed, and I hear different things going on in like Merritt Island or stuff like over at the mall that happened a couple weeks ago. There's like a shooting or something, and like all these things that even kind of hit close to home. And I'm almost like, yeah, what does that really have to do with me? Because I hear so much news and see so many posts and so much drama and stuff going on around me that I'm just like, yeah, does that really have anything to do with me? And as we've been walking through this series, I've kind of got sometimes like that impression that we can approach the gospel and go, man, yeah, I guess you keep saying it's good news. Like, but I mean, what does that really have to do with me? Like, why should that really get me like excited? Why should I really care that you keep telling me that this is like really good news for me? So tonight, what I wanted us to do in our series is, next week we'll wrap it up, but tonight I wanted us to stop for a second. We've seen the gospel lens. We understand the gospel story, right? That God created everything perfectly. So we have creation as the first part of that gospel lens. And then sin caused this thing to all break, including us in our relationships and our friendships. And the whole deal just broke. And so we have the fall. But then Jesus said, I loved you so much, I'm going to pay for this to take you back. And we see redemption. And then finally he says, I'm not going to just take you back and leave you broken, though. That's not good. So I'm going to restore you and make you better than brand new. And then we stop, you're like, okay, there's the news. You said it again. You keep saying it's great, Rob, good, but what does that have to do with me? Why is that good news for you tonight as you sit here? And I tell you for like the 200th billionth, I don't know numbers very well, time, a big number, that God loves you. That it's great news. Like, why should you listen to that news and go, oh yeah, you're really talking to me. Like, that actually applies to me in my life, Rob. I get it now. Or am I just kind of like the social media board up here telling you, hey, good news, another post for you, another notification to your phone you're going to ignore and just click off of? It's not that good of news. Or will we get to that point where you're like, wait a minute, that really is good. And it's good because it really does apply to me. This good news, this gospel is for you, every single one of you. Name by name, face by face, as you're sitting here tonight and I'm looking at you, that good news is for you. And so we're going to look at why. What are the things about this good news that actually apply to you to make it good for you and for your life? My sister, I've told you lots of stories probably by now of my older sister, who was kind of like really mean to me growing up all the time. She's a terrible older sister. And I used to, yeah, I rocked the Nintendo, right? You guys are like, what's a Nintendo? I rocked the Nintendo. And I rocked Mario Brothers, the very first one that ever came out in that really weird cartridge that you clicked in there. I rocked it. And so I was a little chunky kid sitting there eating my little pizza bites, and I'm playing Nintendo. And I was trying to beat this game, and I would just like play like dude, every single day I'd play this game until I could beat it. And it would drive me nuts because that mushroom dude kept eating me and it would tick me off. And so I'd play it, and my sister loved to annoy me. You guys know that. So nothing new there. And one day I'm playing, I'm really into it. Like, it's a Saturday. I've already watched my cartoons. Power Rangers already gone on, and like the old school Power Rangers, like the real ones, the first ones. And I watched that already. I was ready to go, and I am just zoned in, and I'm locked in. And my sister comes up, like usual, sees me locked in and wants to annoy me. So she starts talking to me, getting in my face. You ever like been really like focused on something, and someone's like, hey, like trying to get in your way. Like she's doing that. And I'm like, I'm about to punch her. I'm not even listening to what she's saying to me because I'm just so mad at her and so focused. And so finally I look up and I've had it. And I just do one of those and I explode. And I'm like, you're going down, girl. And so I look up at her and I see that she's sitting there and she's holding this plate of this, like the most delicious, like cake. It was so good looking. I wanted to eat that cake. But instead I'm like, I know how I'll get you. And I just went, bam. I smacked it right out of her hand, right on the ground. It was great. It was just like this moment of rage. It was like, you made me die. Bam! I just looked at her. It was like basketball. It was like Michael Jordan just being like, rejected, bro. And so there's this beautiful piece of chocolate cake just splattered on the ground in my sister's face. But it didn't look mad. And I'm like, she's playing some tricky witchcraft on me right now. Why is her face not mad? And then I hear her say, I just told you I'm bringing you this piece of cake. my bad. That was my cake. I get it. Yeah, my bad. totally ruined my own cake because I didn't listen to the message, right? I didn't think it was for me. I didn't care. And I'm just kind of doing my thing. And I wasn't paying attention to some really good news that affected me, right? Because I felt pretty dumb when my sister looked at me and was like, that was your cake, idiot. Right? I'm a dummy for not listening to news that's for me, especially when it's good news for me. But don't we do that with the gospel when we hear our pastors and our leaders yell out to us over and over, hey, this is for you and it's really good. Take it. And it's like, get out of my face. I'm too distracted right now. I'm doing my thing. I don't want to hear that. But it's really good news and it's for you. I don't want to hear you. You're just getting in my way. Until we get to the point where it's like, I've just had it. Stop telling me all this stuff. What does it have to do with me anyway? Dummy, are you not listening? This is the best news you've ever heard in your life, and you're not listening. And you're like, wait, that was for me? And I'd hate for us to one day, somebody in that scenario end up before Jesus himself in heaven standing at the gates, and he's like, didn't you hear the news? Didn't you hear how good it was? Didn't you hear that it was for you? Yeah, they told me, but I just wasn't listening. Jesus? But you just smacked my gospel in the ground and said you didn't care. Why weren't you listening? They told you over and over. They got in your face. You didn't listen. It's for you and it's good, but you're not listening. You smacked it on the ground. And my heart would break to know that some of us would end up in that position and have nothing to answer back to Jesus. You're right. I just didn't listen, Jesus. And I missed out on salvation. You died. You rose again. You did all of that incredible stuff I can't even imagine for me, and I threw it on the ground. I'm sorry. Can I beg you to listen tonight? Even if you think you've heard this a million times, even if you think that you've got this stuff down, will you listen tonight? Will you celebrate how good it is? Like, this is great news. Will you hear it? I want to show you three reasons. I'm just going to point out three reasons why I think this is all about you. This is what this has to do with you. This is why this isn't just some dude up here spouting verses off. This is how it has to do with you and your life. Ready? I want to read through three different things for you. The first is in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. Hear these verses real quick. It says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but your fellow citizens with the saints. Members, get this, of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Did you hear that part where it said you're part of the household of God? You're no longer aliens and strangers. You're not enemies of God anymore that don't belong here. You're invading his territory. But now he said, no, I love you, and I'm going to take that brokenness. Remember the gospel lens of the fall in our sin and how it broke everything? He says, I'm taking you out of that and I'm going to make you brand new. And so what I'm doing here by taking you from being an enemy and bringing you over here and making you a child, like part of his household, God's own family. one he would even die for? Because he did die for you? That's how much he loves you? He changed your identity. He totally changed your identity. What does this have to do with you? If you believe this news, your identity changes. You're like, I don't even get that. I don't even understand that. How does my identity change? Listen to Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 17. Paul says, so then, brothers, we're debtors, like we owe a debt, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh and sin. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. Right? Over here, you'll die. You're an enemy of God. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live over here. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are what? Sons of God. He changed your identity. And then he says, for you didn't receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. We inherit God's kingdom. Do you get this? Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. This isn't just like God changes like the church you go to. It changes what you do on a Wednesday night. This is God takes Samaya and what she used to be and makes her a brand new Samaya, makes her a new person completely, changes her identity. She has nothing to do with what she used to be anymore. Samaya, you were headed to hell before. Eternal punishment. Separated from God forever, no hope in life, totally broken. And Jesus shows up and says, I love you. And he wraps his arms around you and he gives you his righteousness. And he says, now you're headed to heaven. Now you're my child and not my enemy. Now you inherit the entire universe. Very different story. You are a totally new, brand new person with a brand new identity because Jesus showed up and said, I love you. That's incredible news because I stunk before. Like I was totally broken and hopeless. I wasn't going anywhere. I was on my way to hell. And God said, I'm changing that storyline. I'm showing up and we're taking a detour and I'm making you brand new and making you a different person with a different future, with a new inheritance. That's huge. He changes our identity. And some of you guys, man, you understand what that feels like. My first day, I used to be a teacher at MICS, Maranatha Christian School over here. I taught Spanish. And my very first day as a teacher, like fresh out of the boat, it was just like first day teaching a class ever. I walk into this classroom and I have like my new clothes on because I had just come from Guatemala. I was used to wearing like shorts and a t-shirt all the time. And I'm wearing like khaki pants, like those nice ones that are like really silky, you know, like a nice dressy shirt. I walk in class and I'm like, I get everything all set up. My students come in. I'm being all professional. I make a big deal. And so I get up and I present myself so professionally to everybody. And I'm standing right in front of like, you know how they have the whiteboards over there. My desk is off to the side. And my desk was like really close to the wall. So I don't know why I never moved it, but it was just was. And I would have to like kind of squeeze behind my desk to get to my seat. And so I just give this huge spiel. And I sit down, and then someone asks a question, so I'm thinking I'm very professional. I'm going to get up and answer the question behind a podium, whatever that thing is. And so I get up, and as I do, I walk by that little tray, you know, the metal tray on the whiteboard, and I have a rather large hindquarters that hits that metal tray, and I'm like, I feel a little drafty in here, a little bit chilly back there in the nether regions. And I reach back, and I realize that thing was so sharp, it just sliced my pants wide open, and the entire butt of the pants just went, bloop. And I'm just standing there like, in front of a brand new class of like junior high kids, like, they're not going to make fun of me, you know, like, what's happening now? And I don't know what to do. I'm like, this is, I'm going to jail, like, I don't even know, I'm like, my butt's hanging out, like, I don't know what to do. I'm holding up, like, no clue. It was so embarrassing in that moment. I don't even know what I did. I blacked out, like, I can't believe this is my first day. And now I'm like, my pants are ripped in half. Like, all I could think about was like, I wish that was somebody else. I wish that was not me right now. This is terrible. I wish I could just like curl up in a ball and cry. I think I did that actually for the rest of the day. I don't know. But that feeling, have you ever felt that? Like you've been so embarrassed. You're like, I just wish I was somebody else. Like, this is the most embarrassing moment of my life. I wish I was somebody else. Some of you guys understand that, but you might even understand that in a bigger way. Like, some of us have probably come to the room tonight and we're like, I get that, but not in a funny way. Like, there have been moments in my life that I've done stuff that I wish I could forget I ever did. Just wish I was somebody else. I've made some decisions that I will never be able to erase and turn around. I just wish I was somebody else. Like, there have been some horrible things happen in my family and in my past, and just thinking of all these things in my life that I bring here, and my heart hurts, and I just wish it would go away. I wish I could just be somebody else. That's what the gospel lens tells us. You can be somebody else. As a matter of fact, Jesus looks at you and your brokenness and your sin that we're describing, and he says, do you want to be somebody else? You tired of being that? You tired of being you? Are you tired of being broken and feeling that guilt? You tired of always choosing sin instead of what's right? Well, guess what? I can make you somebody else. I can take you and forgive your sin and put you over here and give you a brand new identity and make you someone else. So that guilt you're trying to get rid of, I'll take it away. Because you won't be you anymore. That brokenness and that hurt you feel, it's going to be gone because I'm going to make you a brand new person and give you a brand new identity. That's what the gospel does. Why is this good news? What does this have to do with you? Everything. This has everything to do with you because all of us are standing over here at one point. And we're all broken. And we're all hurting and we all have a past and we've done stuff we wish we could just forget. And Jesus says, hey, guess what? This is good because I will make you, Rob Jones, a new person. I'm giving you a new identity. That has everything to do with you. That's not just news someone's shouting out. Another news flash out there. This is more personal than anything you will ever hear in your life. It's all about you. Jesus says, I'm making you brand new and giving you a new identity. That's huge. I want to go from being an enemy of God to adopted as his son. That's the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life. Thank you, Jesus, for that awesome news in me. You've made me brand new. The second thing I want to show you guys is in Romans chapter 12. This has to do with you too. Romans 12 verses 1 to 8. It says, I appeal to you, brethren, like I beg you, brothers, by the mercies of God, like listen to me, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, right? Your brand new identity by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. What is good and acceptable and perfect. So Paul just repeated what we just saw. We get a brand new identity, right? He makes us totally new. But then he says, if you have a new identity, check out what happens to you. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, this is Paul yelling out the same thing as me tonight. He's just yelling, hey, listen, I got news for you. Don't smack it to the ground. Please listen. He's begging them, literally. I appeal to you. Hear the news. It's for you. He says this, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Ready? For as in one body we have many members, and the members don't all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. What was just described there? Hey, Rob, I'm going to take you out of your brokenness. You wish you could be somebody else. Okay, done. I'm making you somebody else, a brand new identity, a child of God. And when I do that, you have a new identity, but you also have a new family because you're a new person now. And so I'm going to take you and I'm going to plug you into me. First of all, you're intimately connected to God himself. So you have that incredible relationship with the maker of the universe who will listen to everything you say, but also with his children. And he calls us a body. So as you're plugged in here at Firehouse, let's say, how many of you guys are student leaders? Raise your hand, you're a student leader. Or you guys are serving leadership in Firehouse. You're using your gifts here to serve everybody else in this room. With the different things that you're doing, you're using your leadership and different gifts to say, I love the people here because you're my body. And each of you are gifted differently. You're not all really good at one thing, right? You're all good at different things the way God designed it. So you can serve each other in different ways. And what happens if some of you decide, hey, I'm just not going to do it? The body suffers because you're not using your gifts. You know, God didn't just call pastors or student leaders to use their gifts. He said, the good news is this. Every single one of you that I take from here and I make you a brand new person, I give you a gift that you're going to use within this body. Have you ever stopped and you're like, man, how am I using my gifts? How do I even know what my gifts are? You ever thought about that? Can I challenge you to think about it? Figure out ways that you can serve. And if you need help, your leaders would love to talk to you. I would love to talk to you. Let's figure out what your gifts are. Let's pray together and ask God what ways you could serve here. Because God says, we just heard Paul saying, that's what you're moved over here for, is to now serve. Are you serving? Are you serving? Are you using your gifts to love the people in your life group? You know, we have this thing called, we're going to have this thing soon called the Meeting Needs Project. And the Meeting Needs Project is basically, as you're in a life group, you're going to look around your life group together with your life group leader, and you're going to hear the prayer requests of the people in your group, and you're going to know, because you're loving them and living life with them, you're going to know when they're going through stuff, and your group's going to get together and try to meet the needs of each other. So-and-so is going through a really hard time at home. And so your group gets together and say, hey, how can we help them out and help their family out? Or their mom is really sick right now. How can we make them some dinners and drop it off at their house so that they can eat? His mom's too sick to cook right now. Or so-and-so is having a really bad week. How can we all text that person this week and love them and meet their needs and use what our gifts are to actually lift each other up and point each other back to Jesus and say, he's good. Remember the news? Remember how we're broken and sin does that? But Jesus comes and restores it. Remember that? I know it's hard for you right now. I know you might be hurting right now. But remember the lens. Remember this awesome news. Now, I pray that you guys are already doing that in your life groups. And if you're not, start. Let's do this Meeting Needs Project together and serve each other well, because we're the body. And so the second thing, the reason why this applies to you, this news is for you, is because God changes your family. He makes you a part of the family of Christ. It doesn't mean you just lose your family, but now you're brought into a bigger family where we love each other and we meet each other's needs and we use our gifts to serve one another. There was this little kid. I was walking through a poor town in Guatemala once, and we're handing out food and different things. And I had like this bag of this really, really good like Tootsie Roll like lollipops. When you get to the middle, like it's all Tootsie Roll. It's the best part, right? And so I was handing those out to people, and this little kid had, I think, like 4 or 5 siblings running around. They were just everywhere, and they're all pretty much either naked or barely clothed, and their bellies are all like swollen. And they lived in like basically like that metal stuff right there, all rusty. We just kind of had like 4 or 5 of them pushed up like in a teepee looking type thing, and that's where they lived in that. And I slept under there when it was raining or at night, and it was just nasty. And I'm watching these kids running around, and their parents weren't even home at the time. And we walked in, and I went up to the biggest little boy and I handed him a Tootsie Pop and was like, hey, bro. And he just runs off and he runs back to his little sister in the back and hands it to her and then runs back and stands there. All right, here's another one. And we did that little game, and he just ran to all his little brothers and sisters and just kept giving it to them and not keeping it for himself. And finally he came back and he was the last one. When I gave it to him, when all his brothers and sisters finally had one, then he kept that thing for himself and just ripped that thing off and count how many licks it would take to get to the center, right? Because that's what we do with those. It was so cool. Like, this little dude was worried more about like his brothers and sisters getting something, when here I am slapping cake out of my sister's hand that was for me, you know? Like, man, what a spoiled little brat I was. It was cool to see someone think of their family first. It was cool to see someone put other people in front of themselves, even if it was a dumb Tootsie Pop. The heart was so awesome to see in him. Like, I'm not going to keep this for me until I put my family first, my brothers and sisters. I want to encourage us as the body of Christ, as a youth group, like, will you guys do that? Will Jesus put that heart in us? Can we pray that Jesus put that heart in us, that we would love each other more than ourselves, that we would use our gifts to serve each other first? That's how this news affects you, you know. If you're in a brand new family, this awesome news affects you in that way, that you start to put other people first. Jesus himself in Philippians chapter 2, he was obedient to the point of death. He became a servant for us. Can we do that for one another now because he's done that for us? And the last thing I want to show you guys is in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. You probably have this memorized or you know it really well. I'm going to read it to you anyway. It says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age.'" Anyone know what this is called? The Great Commission. This is where Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, "All right, here's what I want you to do, church. If you believe in me, if you follow me, if I've taken you and changed your identity, plunged you into a brand new family, I'm giving you also a new purpose." How does this affect you? Why is this good news? What does it have to do with you? It changes your purpose in life. So if you accept Jesus, it's like, wait, I have a brand new purpose. I used to live for me. I used to live to like have fun and get all the things that I want and like be really successful and whatever. But it was all about me. Jesus says, "Hey, wait. That's the old you. The new you has a brand new reason to live. New purpose. That you was going to heaven, going to hell, and had to live it up here on earth because you only had a few years till you were going to suffer for eternity. This you's looking forward to a better life. You're using this life now to serve others because the best is yet to come for us. We're going to have eternity with God in heaven. I'm not in this rush to like get all my like desires fulfilled anymore. I have eternity to be in paradise. And so while I'm here, I want to use every second of that to tell other people that they can have that too. I've got a brand new purpose, to glorify God by making disciples." And so this is Jesus' commandment, his mission, his purpose, his new purpose to you and me. I changed your identity, I changed your family, and I'm giving you a brand new purpose. I want you to go out. And I want you to tell people this incredible news. But if it's not incredible in your heart, if you don't think it has anything to do with you, we're just going to smack it to the ground. We have to stop for a moment and realize that this is all about us. That this affects us deeply and intimately, and that it is great. And then I'm going to want to take that, and I'm going to want to do what Jesus commands me here to do. This new purpose of telling other people. I remember the first person I ever shared Jesus with. I was in elementary school. It was the fifth grade. And I was living down in South Florida. And it was after school one day. I was pumped. My homework was done. You ever get that feeling like when your homework's done, you just feel like you're in Disney World? It's just like the best feeling. You're like, like I'm free. I have the rest of the night to do whatever I want. This is awesome. I loved it. And so I would run outside and like in South Florida, it was always hot. So I'm out there, I think I was playing with my remote control car. I know you guys all have drones and stuff now, whatever, but I had a remote control car, like the old version one, you know? And it would drive around, and half the time it would drive off of it on its own because the antenna wasn't strong enough. And but I was having fun, man. I'm out there in all my glory just playing my remote control car in my driveway in the front yard. And there was a neighbor that I had, same age as me. He was over there. I would always hear, like, his family was, like, not healthy. His mom and dad, you could hear them screaming from my house most of the time. I mean, probably not a day went by that they didn't have a massive fight. And my family could hear them across the street. Every single time we'd hear the screaming, the same thing would happen. You'd see him sneak out like from the backyard. He'd come out like through the fence and just like chill in the front yard and try to just not listen. And I'm out there and it was like this awkward moment of, He sees me, like, what am I going to do? And so I'm standing there, and I look over, and he's coming right for me. And as he got closer, I see, like, he's got tears in his eyes, and he's crying. And I'm like, you want to play with my car? Like, I don't know. He's like, no. I was like, okay. He's like, I just need to talk. And so we actually climbed up into the bed of my dad's pickup truck, and we sit up there, and we're just talking. And as he's telling me, like, man, my parents are fighting. And I'm like, yeah, I hear him once in a while. And he's like, they're always fighting. And he started to share some personal things with me, and he was just so heartbroken. I, bro, like, I don't know what to tell you. I'm in fifth grade, but, like, I know what I believe. I was like, I believe in Jesus. Can I tell you about what I believe? And we sat there, and he was like, yeah, tell me everything. And so we sat in the back of this, my dad's pickup truck, and I told him it all. Man, I was a little preacher. I was just like, I'm going to let you have it. And I preached the whole deal. I told him this good news I just tell you, that I tell you guys every week. God made us perfect. We sinned and broke it. We got separated from him. But Jesus says, it's not good enough. I'm buying you back, and I'm going to restore you to better than brand new if we believe in him and trust him for that. And when I shared that with him, right there, he said, I want that. The first time I ever saw him, I got the biggest smile on my face, like, it's good news to you too? You know, like, somebody else thinks this is great news. It's the first time he's ever heard it. And right there in the back of my dad's pickup truck, that kid got saved. First time. And I'm thinking, why are we not telling everybody this good news? You know, like, and Jesus is like, you're supposed to be, you know, dummy. Like, why aren't you? I want to encourage you guys. Like, that was my first time ever sharing Christ with somebody. I know some of you guys are like, man, I'm so scared to do that. Like, I don't know. Just do it. I don't have a secret magic potion for you to make it not scary. But I can tell you that it is the greatest news you will ever hear and that will ever happen to you. And the more you start to think about that great news and enjoy it in your life, the more confidence you're going to have to say, this really is that good, I need to tell people. So if you're like, I'm too scared, can I challenge you? Every day, just spend some time thinking about what Jesus has done for you. And then pray and say, Lord, thank you so much. Tell him what it means to you. Every day, just keep doing that. Every day when you get up, think about the gospel and what it's done for you and pray about it and thank God. And see, just see if in a couple weeks you don't start to get more courageous about this incredible news. Because the more we think about it, the more we thank him for it and interact with his awesome news, the more it becomes real in our hearts. And the more we want to share it. And I told you guys about the Meeting Needs Project and how we want to help each other's groups, right? In our life groups, meet each other's needs. But we're also doing this thing you've heard about now in the announcement time and stuff called the Mission Trip Merritt Island. Right? We do lots of mission trips. We go to South Carolina. We go to Guatemala. We're going to Rhode Island. Right? We do all these different mission trips. The church has a ton of mission trips you can be involved in. And we want to challenge you to make Merritt Island your mission trip as well. That we get together with our life groups and we find different ways where we can serve our community and go out together as a group and love people in our community. The student leaders already let out in one. It was the homeless feeding. And we went out and found all these different homeless people all over, like Cocoa and Merritt Island and Cocoa Beach. We just drove and found them. And we brought all these bags of food that the student leaders put together. I think Samaya was out there. She was a sandwich making machine. Like all the girls were. And so like we took a back there. We handed them out to all these homeless people. We had these great conversations. We prayed with them. We knew their names. Some showed up at church to sit with some people. I think Kyle had a couple people show up and sit with them. Like, it was awesome. You know what that is? That's just saying this news is so good. We want to tell people. And we want to do it the way Jesus did by loving people and serving them. And so we call it Mission Trip Merritt Island because it's something we should do every day where we live right here on Merritt Island. We're always on mission. We're always on a mission trip right here as we're living. And we want you guys as life groups to go out as the church. Remember, we learned that we have a new family. With your new family, will you go out and serve our island? Serve where you live, your neighbors. And so be looking. We're going to be doing more of that stuff. I want you guys to get involved in that. Come serve our community together. We're talking about this really good news. I can't overlook the fact that there's so many of you guys sitting here tonight who got saved just over the last like year or two, that have been baptized over the last year or two. I want to celebrate that. Like, that's exactly what we're talking about. You heard good news, and you're like, that's really good, and I want to believe it, and I want to accept it and trust Jesus. That's great news. want to celebrate you tonight. I want to, can I share? Can I tell them? This dude right here has some great news. This guy, just a couple months ago at MICS, accepted Christ. He got saved. And in a couple weeks, right? You don't know Barron. He goes to MICS. He's getting baptized in the next couple weeks. So I want you guys to be there and cheer him on because he's your family, right? That's great news. That's awesome. I'm so glad that God's working in people's hearts like that. We want to take that out to our community and to our schools, to FCA. If you don't go to one, go. And invite people who don't know Jesus. And let's be about this new purpose. New identity, new family, new purpose. It's all about you, right? That's how much it has to do with you. Because it's all about Jesus, the gospel, the effects are all about you. The results are all over your life. Open your eyes, see this good news, and know it's about you. And finally, I just want to tell you guys I love you. Some of you guys are like, you don't even know me, Rob. Like, you don't know me that well. How can you say you love me? Like, if you don't know me, then you don't know if I'm like, maybe I'm like not very funny. Well, I don't love you because you're funny or not. Well, you don't know my personality. I don't love you for your personality. Or if you stink or don't stink, you know? I don't love you because you're smart or not smart. See, there's not a whole lot personally I need to know about you to tell you that I love you. Like, what? Why? Because there is something I do know about you, period. I know that you bear the image of God. I love God's children. I love people that God has created and designs and loves and loved enough to die for. I love that about you. So if you stink, it's okay. If you're not that funny or you're a little annoying, whatever, I still love you. I don't need to know that about you. You see, my love for you isn't based on those things. My love for you is based on you. And that's good news, but even better news is that's how God loves you. God doesn't look at you and say, your personality is not good enough for me. You stink too much for me. You're not smart enough for me. You're not funny enough for me. God doesn't look at you and judge you based on those things or love you for those things. Neither do I. God looks at you and says, I love you for you because you bear his image, because you deserve to be loved. That is really good news. Because if it was based on my qualifications, I don't know that God would ever love me. He doesn't love me for that. He loves me because I bear his image, because he created me, and simply because I'm me. And that's how he loves you too. I want you to, as we close, I want you to hear this testimony of a girl who understood that. Watch up here.
My father was sick growing up. He was a cancer survivor who had graft versus host disease. And so when I was 10 years old, he passed away. My mom took care of him, you know, for 10 years. And then a year after my dad passed away, my mother was also diagnosed with cancer. And so she was sick for about 3 years. And then when I was 15, she passed away as well. And so all throughout that time, you know, I was going to church, saw how my parents modeled their faith in the Lord, the picture of strength, just leaning on him for everything. When I was a teenager, after they passed away, I was really, really angry with God and really just sad. And I didn't understand why my whole family had been taken away from me. I kind of rebelled against God and said, well, you know, I tried to live life by your rules. And I just kept trying to be good enough so that bad things would stop happening in my life. And I could never be good enough. And so I just said, well, whatever, I'm just going to, you know, live the way I want to live. And so I was dating a young man and fell into a sexual relationship really quickly because he seemed like the only constant thing in my life when everything else was changing. When I was 18 years old, I found out that I was pregnant and had an abortion. That was a really dark time in my life and a decision made out of a lot of fear what people were going to think about me. You know, I was this good Christian girl who had been grown up in church, and everyone just had this image of me as strong, this image of me as a Christian, and I was terrified for that image to shatter. The boyfriend that I was dating, the relationship that I had wrapped myself up in, ended, and that was when I finally had nothing else to cling to. There was no Band-Aid, no extra comfort for the pain that I was feeling over the choice that I had made and the loss of my child. when I was away at college, I would not go to a church. I felt like if I walked into the door, immediately everyone was going to know that I was the girl who was having sex with her boyfriend and that I had an abortion. And I felt like I would have a literal scarlet A on my shoulder. I didn't want anyone to be able to know me, because if they didn't know me, then they couldn't hurt me and they couldn't judge me. When I started going to church again, on the church's website, there was a place for abortion recovery groups. And I had looked at that for about 2 years before I even attended the church. I keep looking at it, and finally had the courage to email the woman and met with her. And then I went through the study. Even though I had grown up in church my whole life, going through those first chapters on the attributes of God with this new lens of fully understanding the grace of Christ offered to me through the cross was just so instrumental to my healing. I truly understood Christ's death on the cross was for all of my sin, not just part of it. A choice that I thought I would never be able to forgive myself for, never be able to have joy in my life again. He's healed me and He's made me whole again. And knowing how much He values me, just me, even though I've done all these things, even though I have sinned against Him, a holy and righteous God, He just loves me. And His endless pursuit of me is unfathomable to my mind of why He still continues to pursue me and love me, but He does. Being able to say, I am His child, I am His daughter, I am holy and righteous and redeemed because of Jesus' death on the cross is just about the best news I've ever heard.
You bow your heads for just a second. Let me close your eyes. If there's anybody here and you're like, man, I've thought God was like looking at me and judging me based on the things that I do or my qualifications. Here I am thinking God would never love me because He sees all the sin in my heart. Can I tell you, He's not looking at that. He's reaching out with arms wide open. He's already died on the cross and rose again. And He said, I've done that for those sins and I forgive you and I love you and I'm waiting for you. If that's you tonight and you're like, man, I need Jesus. I'm tired of playing this game and feeling this way. I need to be made a new person. I'm tired of the guilt. God sees the things I'm thinking. He's disgusted by my thought life. He sees the things that I desire, my pride. He just sees the sin in me, and I'm tired of the guilt, and I want to be a new person that I know Jesus can make me. Will you hear it tonight and not smack it on the ground like I did to my sister's cake? Will you hear it and say, like, this is good news, and this good news was brought for me? If that's you tonight, will you just slide your hand up in the air so I can see it and pray for you? It's like, I need Jesus. I need to accept Christ tonight. I need to be made brand new. You guys can put your hands down. If you're like, I've accepted Christ and He's made me new, but I haven't been living with that new purpose you're talking about tonight. I haven't been loving my family well, first of all, my church family. I haven't been using my gifts. I want to get plugged in. I want to use my gifts. And I want to be about that new purpose that Jesus gave me when He gave His great commission. I want to tell people about Him. I'm going to use my gifts so people hear this good news. I haven't been doing it. I've been too busy doing my own thing. Rob, will you pray for me? Just pray that God helps me do that. Will you slide your hand up and just say, like, I want God to give me the strength to do that. I want to plug in. I want to use my gifts to serve Jesus. Keep your hands up for me for 1 second. Those of you guys who raised your hands, here's what I want you to do. I want you, before you leave tonight, walk up to your leader or come find me. Please find me if you don't want to talk to your leader and say, look, I need you to pray with me for this. I can't do this alone. And here's why I'm asking you to do that. I'm telling you, you're part of a family. Your family wants to gather around you in this decision, all right? So if you got your hand up, will you please do that before you leave? Leaders, can you just look and see, help them, just look at these kids and see if they're yours and approach them. Pray together. Be serious about this decision and say, how can I get plugged in and use my gifts to serve Jesus? All right? You guys can put your hands down. I'm going to pray for us, and I'm going to invite you guys back up to worship. Father, we love you so much. God, thank you for making us brand new and that this great news has so much to do with us. Father, you died on the cross for us to redeem us and to restore us and give us a brand new identity, a brand new family, and a brand new purpose. Lord Jesus, for those that raise their hands for salvation, Lord, I pray for them that their hearts would be confident knowing that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. Father, that they would stop and speak to a leader or me before they leave tonight. God, for those who raise their hands saying, Lord, I want to live for you. I want to use my gifts for you. Lord, will you give them the boldness and the courage and the commitment to say, I'm using everything God gave me to tell people this great news. Father, help us to live brand new. We praise you for what you've done. This is awesome news. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.